kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Well, I'd like to share in the Word with you today, and as usual, we have a title for us to consider, and we're calling this Judgment is Coming Upon the Rich of This World. Judgment is coming upon the rich of this world. And I want to take this from James chapter 5 and verses 1 to 12. James chapter 5 and verses 1 to 12. And as we look at this and read this, we will really be able to glean from this, because so much of what he says here is what is happening today. Judgment is coming upon the rich of this world. And he says, come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasures in the last days. Indeed, the wages of the laborers which mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out, and the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. You have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your hearts as in the day of slaughter. You have condemned, you have murdered the just. He does not resist you. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of sufferings and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. Well, I think you can see by the title what James is saying here. Judgment is coming upon the rich of this world. And I believe this to be very applicable to the age and the time of which we are living in. We are seeing considerable wealth now accumulating with a few, or the elite as they're called. And of course, the powers of darkness are moving all in that direction, because we know that all of this wealth that we're going to talk about, that is spoken of here in James, of course, is going to be used in which the Antichrist will come forth. You see, he cannot come forth without power, and a lot of power is money, is wealth. So here we have a description of the days that we live in, wealth, greed, governments, industries, you name them, they're all out to get as much as they can. And we have a minority who control the world through corporations, within corporations. That's generally how they work. And did you know at the very top of the pecking order lies two companies that control the world? Well, particularly one, and it's BlackRock and Vanguard. And Vanguard controls the whole of the world in its finance. And you will find that if you go through the tree of commerce and industries, you will see that they're all linked. They're all corporations within corporations, and they all come back to one who controls all of it, and it's Vanguard. And BlackRock, which of course is the bank that controls the world finance. And who, of course, is behind all of this? Well, of course, it's the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers and your Gates and other people. This is what we are finding now today that is controlling governments. You find that you have governments within governments. And most of our leaders, sadly, are simply puppets which are controlled. Now, how has this become achievable? Well, it's become achievable through the web, the internet. We're now in the digital age. And this, of course, has helped to achieve all of this. And so we know that all of these are clear signs that we are in the last days and that the Lord is coming soon, first for the overcomers. Now, it's interesting to get such wealth and power. I believe you have to sell your soul to the devil. That's the way you get this power. And that's why we have such movements as the Masonic movement and the Luciferianism. Masonic and Luciferianism are connected. And this is where you have false religion. It is a closed shop religion. It is only for those who are willing to sell their souls to the devil. And that is why so little up until recently was known about all of this. But it's now coming out. It's now being exposed. And it's a bigger thing than we ever realized. But it's interesting because the Antichrist will use all of this to head all of this in the last days. These, of course, are doors that open satanically, as we know. And these demonic forces are coming forth in these last days to deceive, to control, to manipulate. In fact, we haven't seen anything yet to what is coming forth. And the demonic forces that will be released from the pit to empower all of this in the last days. We've only just seen a certain amount yet to what is going to come forth. Why? Because they wish to control the world. And so because these people who are right at the top of the pecking order, they wish to control, and they control by wealth, money. This is where it's going to be handed over at that time through governments for the Antichrist that will come forth. And of course, this power will be used in which to enforce the mark of the beast through digital means. That, of course, is why they want to program us. They want to connect the digital world to us so that we are watched and surveyed. And we know that they're going to get power, where they're going to be able to take our homes from us. They're going to control everything. And they will tell us that you won't need of anything. You will be provided for. You will be looked after. You will become a happy people. That's their philosophy. You will own nothing. Why? Because they will have the power and the control. It looks as though Orwell was pretty right in what he said back in the 80s when he wrote his book. And it's happening before our eyes. And so many are deluded. They cannot see what's happening. And the tragedy is in the house of God, where Christians are asleep to this. We are gradually finding that cash is beginning to go. They're talking about in 2 years that we won't be using cash anymore. So these are all the signs that are rapidly moving toward the end times. And that is why judgment is coming upon the rich, the powerful of this world, which will be headed by Antichrist. And only the Lord Jesus Christ coming with his saints and his angels will be able to put the Antichrist down. Now, James, I believe, leads up to all of this. He has the diagnosis, the problems to all of this. And if we read verses 13 to 17 of chapter 4, here is the problem to what he talks about in chapter 5. And he says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy, sell, make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." And there is the problem. What is he referring to? He's referring to man's conscience. Man knows when it's wrong to suppress, to use, to abuse the weak, the poor. It is not rocket science. And that is why you find that these wealthy people who go back centuries. In fact, this started right at Nimrod when he built the first city. There we see Mystery Babylon starting to be built, exploiting, using the poor in which to get rich. And that's how it works. And that's how it's always worked. Your history books are filled with it. Governments are always promising that they're going to put all of that unfairness right. But they never do, because they don't have the power to do it. They're just being controlled by higher powers. And they make these false promises and lies, and people fall for it, even though they're lying. Because that is the state of the world. The eyes of the world are blinded. And who by? The very devil himself. And it's only been the mercy and grace of God that's opened our eyes. And as it says in Corinthians, your eyes are blessed if they're open. For there are many who long to see as you see, the word says. So we are mightily blessed with what God reveals to us. And so it speaks then of those who suppress their conscience and boast in evil things. And there is the problem. Well, then that leads into chapter 5. And as we see in verses 1 to 3, he says, "Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasure in the last days." So there we are. It speaks of all these riches. They're corrupted. Now, sadly, we saw what this country in the natural is very good at when it does state things. And of course, we all witnessed and saw the funeral yesterday. But look how much that cost in which to put that show on. You see, it's all a mirage. It's to deceive. It's idolatry. And so we see now, don't we, where they go completely overboard. No money spared now. We see everything when we see these festivals or these special events or whatever it would be. We see the money, the wealth that is put into all of this, the excess. When we have the poor, the destitute. And this, of course, is what causes people to be angry, to get frustrated. And we're going to see this get worse and worse, sadly, in these last days. But this speaks of those who live independently of God. And Jesus warns those who try to live independently of God, and he even warns Christians who have a lot of money. He doesn't say that you will not enter the kingdom of heaven, but he also gives the warning that it is difficult if you are rich and you have a lot of money. He makes that absolutely clear. We know that in Matthew 19, verses 23, 24. Matthew 19, 23, 24. "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'Assuredly, I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God.'" I wonder what these people who are mega, mega rich, I wonder what they do when they hear and read these verses. Well, I assume that it's the usual thing. Human nature will always excuse itself and say, "Well, I do charitable works and I help and so on." That's the way they get away with it. But the Lord doesn't say that a Christian can't get into the kingdom of heaven. He simply reveals how difficult it is if you have a lot of money. You see, if you pursue or lust for riches, then it becomes sin. And there are people in the house of God who want to be rich, who are pursuing it, lusting after it. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10, he says, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So we have those in the house of God who have tasted that the Lord is good, but there is a greed within them. There is a desire for wealth. And he says that they have pierced themselves with many sorrows, like arrows that go into one, piercing, pricking. They bring many, many sorrows. And a lot of those sorrows are that you wake up and find that money doesn't give you that peace, that joy, the joy of the Lord, which they think it does. But for many, it can be too late. So we all of us have to be on our guard. And some of us do have success. Some of us do well. Some of us may inherit a lot of money or whatever it is. But my advice to anyone is if you are ever in that position, you hand it back immediately to God and place it on the altar for his glory and for his use. Otherwise, it will vex you and it will bring you sorrow. And I've seen this with some Christians, and they no longer walk with the Lord. But wealth also does something else. It creates pride. And there is the big problem. They like luxury, and luxury brings oppression. And your wealth brings corruption. And that's what James speaks about as we look back to it here. Your gold and silver, they're corroded. And he says that you have heaped up treasures in the last days. And so this is what it does. It just brings about corruption within one's life. Now you may say to me, well, Pastor, why are you talking like this today? Most of us, we haven't got much money at all. I mean, this is nothing new to us. We know pretty well what's going on here. Well, let me tell you something. You are a threat to the powers of darkness. Let's make no bones about it. And the enemy is very, very good, and he can come like an angel of light. And he can suddenly present the opportunity for you to be able to get a lot of wealth or even inherit wealth. And so we all of us have to be on our guard, because we are a threat to the powers of darkness, and he's going to try anything he can to get you out of this race. He doesn't like this race that we are in as overcomers, and he wants to get us to fail. And he'll throw anything within our way to try and get our attention. And he can do it with wealth, with any of us. So don't think that you are exempt from all of this, or it can never touch you. Oh, indeed, it can. Well, then he says in verse 4, indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out, and their cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. So what do these wealthy industries, people of great wealth, do? They control those who work for them. And he says that we hear the cries constantly. And you hear the cries constantly today in the news. And people are going on strike again because they haven't enough money to be able to live with all that's going up. And so it goes on. Hear these cries that constantly come out. But it doesn't affect industry. It doesn't affect these mega multi-billion companies. companies who are making massive profits, mega profits. It doesn't affect them. And it speaks of those who are ill-treated. In other words, the conditions that they work in are atrocious. They're not good. How about those of slavery, exploiting people? We're seeing a huge increase in slavery now. The corruption that is behind it. Migrants that are coming in, the amount of money that they have to pay in which to go in these small boats, risking their life, coming to these shores. These are wealthy people controlling. We know in the we have a story in the Bible, don't we, of the rich man and Lazarus. There is a warning of how you treat the poor. And a lot of the poor today are treated abominably. But what does it say in verse 5? You have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your hearts as in a day of slaughter. And so here is the warning that James gives. As wealth perishes, so they perish with it. It might take several generations, because we know that wealth can pass through generations, through ancestors, but eventually it will perish. And look at the wording that he uses. You have fattened your hearts as of the day of slaughter. So you've got yourself ripe, ready, especially to be slaughtered. That's what he says is going to happen to these people. It will reveal that they have lived arrogantly, independently of God. No fear of God. They don't need God. Well, in the natural, in this world, they don't need God. They've got everything they want. But when they take their last breath, it's going to be completely different. Aren't you glad that God has not let you become one of them? That God's had mercy over us? And that's why we walk by faith and not by sight. And God will provide all our needs as we seek and put first the kingdom of God. There's the promises. And we do that same principle through all these rumours and things we're hearing about electricity and gas and all this going up, 50% and so on. We still trust the Lord. We still walk by faith, and God says, I will meet those needs. I'll pay those bills. Now, of course, we don't abuse it. We have to be sensible, balanced. You don't keep all lights on all round the house for hours and hours and so on. That is not sensible. You don't need all of that. So, you know what I'm talking about. We have to be balanced. But God says he'll meet those needs. He'll pay those bills if we put first the kingdom. Everything else will be added. But for those who are perishing, for those who are extremely wealthy, it's not a problem at all. You see, the Bible tells us that we're to do completely the opposite in which to reap treasures. Where do we reap our treasures, brothers and sisters? Well, it's in heaven. And what does it tell us in Luke 18 and verse 22? You know this well. So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come, follow me. And of course, sadly, he didn't, because he says, but when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. The question I think that we all have to ask ourselves with things, blessings, whatever it would be, our home, car, our job, whatever it would be, we have to ask ourselves honestly before God, do I control it or does it control me? And there is the giveaway. There is the giveaway. And that tells us, and maybe we need to ask this question before God, because there is the problem with the rich man. The riches controlled him. He was generous. He wanted to help, but his heart was in it. And there's the problem. His heart was not solely with the Lord and trusting God. And that is the difference. And so we too have to be on our guard with all that we are blessed with or have. We have to ask that question. Is it still controlling me? And you will know by your actions. You'll know if there's fear, unbelief, insecurity that still works. Or is it Psalm 91, God's assurance policy for each of us? These are questions that we have to honestly ask before the Lord, so that we've got nothing that gets in the way of our walk and that's hindering us. Well, it goes on, doesn't it, back in James. And in verse 6, he says here, you have condemned, you have murdered the just. He does not resist you. So God will hear the oppressed. He'll hear the destitute. He'll hear those that have been put down. It's very difficult, isn't it, when we go through such trials like this, or when you see the poor exploited, or when you see things that go on in Africa, and it seems that other countries do so well, and there's so much wealth. You know, sometimes I have to really bite my tongue when you look at things sometimes, especially with Africa and what some of the nations in Africa go through. Little food, very, very meager salaries. You sometimes find yourself crying out, Lord, where is justice? Where is mercy? How long does this go on for? I know I've battled this. There seems to be no justice. And that's what it means. It says you have murdered. You murder their hope, their aspirations, their hope for a future, whatever it is. You take it from them with your greed and so on. That is what he's saying here. There are many who fall into the net, into a trap by these people. But look what the Lord says in verse 7. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. So there we are. We know the former rain has been received, and now the latter rain is to be received in these closing days. And God will be just and merciful. We know that because he says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And he says, you also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. And so in the context of what James speaks of there back in chapter 5 and verse 1 onwards, he says, I know all these things, this is all going on, but he says, be patient, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. And it is, brothers and sisters, because this can't go on. This greed, this control cannot go on. And the Lord knows. But he says, do not grumble amongst one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. And we all have to watch it. It's easy to start grumbling. It's easy to start complaining and moaning and getting angry and so on. I know, I've fallen for it. But we have to guard this, the Lord says. It's interesting when you read in Revelation 18 of Babylon, how Babylon falls. We see religious Babylon falls in Revelation 17, and then we see the financial world in chapter 18 and how it falls. You want to read that, and how they lament, and how everything tumbles, it crumbles. I believe it's going to be like a domino effect, one after the other falling. These multi-billion companies, these rich people, these oligarchs, all losing everything. You want to read it. But he says, don't grumble. And then he says in verse 10, my brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. And of course, we look to the Lord ourselves. He was born in a stable. He didn't have money in the natural. Yet he had all the wealth in the world. And we do as well as a royal priesthood. Because God is trying to show us that there are things greater than money. You see, we know in this life that we can't go very far without money. Money has such a control, such a hold over people. And I think God is still delivering us from that. And showing us that where our wealth, where our treasure is, it's in heaven. We need to become heavenly minded. We need to know our place is in heaven. We still at times are too earthly, controlled by the things of this world, and we have to get delivered from that. But he says, my brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. And they did. Many of them persecuted, thrown in prison, even martyred for the faith. Indeed, we count them blessed to endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. And God is. Why is he compassionate and merciful? Because God has patience. And judgment is coming, and it will come. But we at present, we wait because the value of the harvest is greater than judgment. Every soul saved is more important than even judgment. That is the value of the harvest. And when you endure and you stay with it, just like Job, he's going to give you a rich return for your labours. You mark my words. you will have such blessing, such spiritual riches, it will be overwhelming. Nothing in comparison to this world or the richest man of this world, to what our Father in heaven has for us, an inheritance. And he says the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. But above all, brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes, yes, and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. So because of all our inheritance, all that we have, we don't need to take oaths or swear on the Bible or anything like that. We don't need it. We have it all. And so there we are, brothers and sisters. Judgment is coming for the rich on this world. And I know it's not always easy, as I close with this. We hear the news and what is going on, and it seems to get more and more negative. We hear such alarming things that are manifesting, behavioural things from people that is absolutely bizarre now. These are demons that are manifesting people now. Laws are being changed all the time. And so it just goes on. I suppose we get to the point where nothing surprises us anymore. But all of this is a sign that judgment is coming upon the rich of this world. And that is why the Antichrist himself will be put down and cast into the pit. Well, there we are, brothers and sisters. Let's take courage. Don't be disheartened. Don't let the news bring you down, but let the joy of the Lord be your strength. And take heart to what God is going to do. He is just. He is merciful. He does hear the cries of the oppressed, the destitute, the forgotten, the cast out, and so on. God is with those people. They are the harvest. They are those that are out into the highways and the byways. They are the ones that will hear the gospel, the good news. Praise God. Father, we thank you. You are merciful. You are gracious. Lord, it doesn't matter what they say, what they think, whether we're cast out, rejected, not wanted, doesn't matter. For Lord, we have an inheritance, a treasure set in heaven. And Lord, you will provide for all our needs, whatever the situation, whatever we go through, whatever the news says, you will be faithful. You will pay our bills. You will always put food on the table and you will keep us warm. And so, Lord, I thank you for this encouragement. It is an eye-opener. Yes, it is a warning for all of us. But, Lord, I thank you that you've chosen us before the foundation of the world and you've made no mistake. So bless, preserve, keep each one of us till we assemble again. For this we ask, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
Let him in constancy follow.